time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Brr. It is cold on Friday. It hit a low of about a deuce at my house, and that's colder than I like it. But we might get a little ice. We might be able to do some ice fishing. But I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking in your world, brother?
Yeah, it was cold out in Lowell, too. It was nothing.
Yeah, a balmy knot.
It was nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, but a little bit better today, and we're going to be back in above freezing in the coming week. So it was just a little blast, but ooh. Man, that was cold, really cold. But anyway, speaking of cold, we're going to talk a little bit about grilling in the cold because I think there's some technique out there and a whole lot of patience that has to happen in order to make sure. Now, many of you probably don't grill in this kind of weather, and we'll clip the corner of your man card if you don't, because grilling is a year-round sport. And got to eat every day. So let's talk a little bit about that, Bob. What are your thoughts with regard to the wind?
Well, my thoughts are Friday night we had some friends over and I did grilling and deep frying outside.
Okay.
And you know, you just have to dress appropriately. I used my infrared because I just love having it, and I need to use it sometime. I tend to use my Cajun and my other charcoal stuff a lot. And
infrared is gas, right?
Yep. So yep. I thought, well, it does a perfect steak and burger. We did a burger bar, and it was wonderful. I made some homemade, I bought these giant Idaho potatoes, and I made homemade fries and bought some sweet potatoes, made homemade sweet potato fries. And I think in the bunker segment four or five, I'm going to go through that process a little bit. But, you know, I still have that timber ridge, excuse me, and the crud. Still have the timber ridge, of course, on my patio.
Which is a deep fryer.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's so cool to go out and hit the gas, hit the fire, and boom. It usually explodes once. That's the boom.
Right, right. But that, you know, so there's the difference. You've had that a long while, and I don't even know if they make them anymore. But,
no.
But it's a propane-driven deep fryer that sits on your deck,
yep.
And it's got, does it have one or two wells?
Well, mine's just the single.
Okay.
Yep. Which is plenty for us.
Right. It's plenty for anybody. And it's a deep fryer. There's no magic to it other than the fact that this time of year when it's this cold, that oil that you put in there takes a lot longer to warm up.
Well, the oil's been in it.
Okay.
So you don't take it out. It's got a filter.
Right.
So you can drain it and filter it from time to time because it gets really expensive. It holds a lot of oil.
Okay.
And it gets really expensive.
So then the oil was in it, so it was probably gelatinous.
It was frozen.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So you heat that thing up, and you can't just turn the torch on and as high as it goes. You got to let it kind of come up to temperature a little bit, right?
No, I turned it up as high as it could go and waited a half hour, and I got up to 350.
Okay.
And that's my number.
It doesn't like scorch the oil on the bottom while the top is still frozen?
Nope.
Okay.
Thermodynamics in place.
Okay. So the heat transfers through the oil.
Yep.
All right. So well,
what, you know, heat rises, so that brings the cold down, so it tends to want to create its own little thermocycling inside.
Okay.
And that oil is pretty resilient. I use peanut oil, even though I don't have to. It's pretty resilient.
Right. So you heat that back up, and then you're obviously deep frying in it. But the point there is it was frozen, and it took a while. Impacts your planning, impacts the time you eat.
And that's the key. Just like you're going to get some boots on, you're going to get a coat ready, you're going to get a glove ready, you're going to get all that stuff going early.
Right.
Now, that infrared grill fires up, and that's ready to cook on in 10 minutes. I don't care what the temperature is because it's infrared.
Right. But I will tell you that I have a smaller unit than yours,
mm-hmm.
And
that's what she said.
Though I understand it's been that way for a long time. But I have a smaller infrared grill, same company, Tech.
Yep.
Bob used to rep that company, and I'm a benefactor of leftovers. But it works wonderfully. But my point is that the wind will impact that. Okay. There's a venting in the back of mine.
Right.
That if the wind's blowing
in
there.
Your in particular has a bit of a weakness
right.
that way.
So I need to shelter the wind. And when I built my outdoor kitchen where that infrared grill sits, I purposefully put it up against, there's a privacy fence.
Right.
Right? And my grilling station is up against, there's a foot and a half between the back of my grill
it
and the fence.
It keeps the wind from blowing in
right.
and blowing out the pilot.
Right.
And once you lose your pilot, the valve goes into safety. Everything locks down. You go outside, and the raccoons are on your food because it's cool enough.
Yeah, right. But or if you're, yeah, right. But anyway, so the thing is that when you're grilling in this weather, for you and for your equipment, you need a wind block. And whatever that is, if you've got a little pop-up tent where you can throw a side on it, makes a huge difference in the amount of time it takes to cook.
And you can buy those online, the three-sided,
right?
Whatever, you got a 10x10 pop-up. They sell, and it's usually 8 feet tall. They sell like
a piece of tarp, basically.
It is, yeah. That hooks onto all three of the legs, four of the legs.
Right.
The front stays open, or whatever side you want to be open to block the wind.
Right. Yep.
And we've used those plenty of times. I have one.
Makes a huge difference.
Yeah, I have one left from that big pop up of mine that got destroyed. I kept the turnaround.
Right.
Yep. That's all of us left.
To get it there. But. You're gonna spend more time preparing, and if you're smoking in this environment, plan on a lot of extra time because this cold. We have a big metal iron smoker, and it takes probably 30% more fuel to keep that thing hot while you're smoking, just because Mother Nature's zapping it with cold.
And that's right back to what we've preached for years in terms of building yourself an area, and whether it's a fence or whether it's like I've got where you've got two walls behind you and a roof over you, or whether it's a pop-up that you put these three sides around like we're talking about, you have to take care of that. Otherwise, you're wasting fuel and time.
Right.
And you're freezing your mutts off.
And I would say the real difference there is that the quality of your food. You're used to using your equipment in a non-frozen environment, and you know how long it takes to perform. All bets are off on timing when you're in this kind of weather.
Yeah, guys like Steve Reichlin, you know, out at his casa in Arizona with all his beautiful grills.
Right.
In January, grilling on a Kalamazoo grill at 75 degrees at 8 o'clock at night. You know, we hate you.
Right. Yeah. That's mid-July for us. That's our grilling time for that kind of a setup. But
We're lucky.
Yeah. Anyway. So the Super Bowl is coming up next week. Not a week from tomorrow. And there's a lot of things that people do for the Super Bowl with regard to preparing food. It's one of those eating events. As much as it is a sporting event, in my mind, in the next segment, we're gonna reach out to a barbecue guy that is somewhat of a legend here.
Who helps us eat?
Yes, he helps us eat. He'll help you eat, and he's somewhat of a legend here in West Michigan. He's been on the Food Network, and he's won all kinds of awards and stuff. It's a guy named Matt Smith from Pit Stop Barbecue. We're gonna have him on because he has an entire menu developed for takeout from his shop for the Super Bowl, and there's just super cool things on it that he doesn't make every day that he makes for the Super Bowl.
And the point isn't us trying to drive you to go buy from him, because most of you can't. The point is pay attention to what he's making and talking about, because it might stimulate a few of those nerve endings.
That's right, and you get some ideas because – while his stuff is unique, it's not anything you couldn't make.
Right.
You know, that thing called the internet has a tremendous amount of information about recipes. And if you have something that he makes that you like to hear, you certainly can. If you're in West Michigan, you can buy them from him. But you'll hear him say it's going to be a pre-order thing. So you listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. the Jethro Worldwide Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com. Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fen Valley Vineyards.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM, wherever you're listening. We appreciate you tuning in. Barbecue Bob, it's going to be a Super Bowl weekend, a week from tomorrow. And that is also a big eating weekend. And on the live line right now, we've got one of our buddies that runs a Pit Stop Barbecue in southeast Grand Rapids. Matt, welcome, man. Good to talk with you.
Hey, guys. It's been a while. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, it has. And hope you're doing well. So talk to us a little bit about Pit Stop, what's going on, because I think you take this Super Bowl very serious when it comes to barbecue.
We do, and watching and drinking beer when we're watching the Super Bowl.
Right.
And we're super excited this year because we're back doing wings. Wing prices went crazy for a few years. They went up like 300% just before the pandemic, and we stopped doing them for the Super Bowl because they were so expensive, but they're back down, so we're doing them again. And when we used to do them back in the day, we actually qualified for the Guinness Book of World Records, how many we do in a day. I think the most we did was 12,000 in 4 hours at Pit Stop.
Wow.
On a Sunday. It was crazy. And our staff was unbelievable because, I mean, we're not just deep frying them. We slow grill them, and we baste them nonstop. We have two 4,000-pound smokers that we pretty much start on Saturday late in the day and cook all day, pretty much all night, cook in the morning, and get stuff ready to go when we open at 1:30 on Sunday.
On Super Bowl Sunday. So what are some of the flavors that, I mean, everybody has their own, like, special sauce or flavor. Do you offer a variety of them, or is it just a Matt special?
We used to do quite a few of them, but it's kind of tricky. So now we kind of narrowed it down to our top two. The number one that we do, we've won a bunch of contests with these. We call them Sucker Punch wings.
Okay.
It seems like most of our names have kind of leaned towards violence, so sorry about that. But it's more like a sweet heat barbecue where we really try to get it because we layer our wings in heat underneath like crazy, and we just keep layering it in heat. And then the last couple bastings are sweet. So when you're eating them, you're like, these are not hot. And then about 18 seconds later, you're like, okay, yeah, these are hot.
Yep.
You kind of got to keep eating them so that you get that sweet and it kind of cools it down. And then the heat comes. It's like a never-ending thing. When you run out of wings, that's when you're in trouble.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of a cool thing. But I can see why people would like that because it's a different profile. Than most time. So you got another one though. You said two besides the Sucker Punch, right?
Yeah, what we call it. It's a Vampire Slayer, also violent.
Yeah.
and what it is, it's a garlic parmesan. But it's the same thing. We layer it in heat like crazy. We roast our own garlic and grate our own parmesan. But when we're roasting it, we throw habaneros and jalapenos in there, so it gets a real spicy flavor profile underneath. And then at the end, we take the heat out of it. And so same type of thing, right? You're eating it, and it's like, okay, these are good, but they're not that hot. And then the heat comes later, and they're really good. And we cook them forever, so they're super tender and sometimes like almost falling off the bone when you're picking them up.
Yeah, now you're not deep frying those, are you?
No, we don't deep fry anything.
Right.
They're actually kind of healthy. There's no breading on them. I mean, they'd be considered naked because there's no breading, but there's a lot of layers of basting and our rub that we put on there.
Cool, cool. So you've got several other items on the menu. Cover a couple of those for me too.
Sure. One of them is thrashing around in the back of my car right now because I just went to Ford Airport and picked up the alligator that was shipped up from Louisiana.
Yeah, it's going to be fresh, isn't it? Yeah,
thrashing around my car. I don't need PETA coming after me.
Right.
So, but what's in that? This is a super popular thing. We haven't done it in about a year and a half. We call it gator gumbalaya. It's a cross between gumbo and jambalaya. And there's everything comes out of Louisiana. There's lump crab and crawfish and shrimp and gator sausage and gator tail and gator tenderloin. And we make a ginormous 25-gallon pot of that. First, we smoke all the stuff I just mentioned. It all gets thrown in a pot. And then we, you know, mix in a lot of different tomato-based type things and Crystal Louisiana hot sauce, all kinds of different things. And then that thing cooks for about 30 hours. And I just know the last couple times that we've done it, when we just do it for takeout, in the 25 gallons, we sold out in 2 hours.
Yeah, wow.
So this year we have it where you can pre-order, and we've already had quite a few pre-orders. So it started at 25 gallons. We're probably down to about 17 gallons available. So if people want to pre-order that or any of our other things, you have to email us. It's Matt at Pit Stop Catering. It's PITSTOP Catering GR as in GrandRapids.com. And you can find all this information. I'm going to put it up on our Instagram account today, but it's been running on our Pit Stop Catering Facebook page. It's got all the details to the 15th degree on there on how you order and everything else that comes with it. You can also pre-order or just come in and get our Texas brisket, our pork, any of the sides we do. And it's I usually suggest to pre-order because we run out of stuff fast on that day.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge day, and everybody just wants to sit around and eat great food, and you're making it so dang convenient to do it. But I think that if I hear anything from you, it's pre-order because it's the nature of barbecue. I can't just whip it up because 10 more people showed up. What I have is what I have. If you call ahead, you'll get yours. If you don't, you might not, right?
But Matt, say somebody's not in this market. Give these folks in other towns some ideas as to some cool things they could do. Maybe they only have a grill, you know, because a lot of people don't have a smoker. What would be some cool game sides that you've played with in the past?
So some of the sides or the
any kind of snacks for the game?
Sure. I mean, if you can do like chicken wings are really not that hard. And if you've never done them before and you just have a grill, the key to life in our world is cider vinegar. We use a lot of cider vinegar and Louisiana hot sauce. I like Crystal the best, but it's sometimes kind of hard to find around here. But mix those two in a pan and throw whatever kind of wings you like. They can be whole wings or split wings. Throw them in a pan, put them in your grill for maybe an hour and a half so they're actually cooking in the sauce. And the vinegar and also the vinegar inside of the crystal hot or inside the hot sauce will break down the wings. And then once it starts cooking to the point where it's like, okay, I might be able to eat this, then you take it out and you start grilling them.
Nice.
Not directly over the heat because they'll burn. Do offset cooking. And then that's when we start basting with the actual mix, the mix that we just cooked the wings in. Keep right. Basting it in that.
Right.
And then you can make up your own rub. Just Google chicken rub, any kind of chicken rub, something that sounds good to you. There's a lot of them out there.
That's the money tip. That's the money tip right there. That is awesome. And that's, for a lot of folks, it's a great way to try it. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, Matt, Pit Stop Barbecue. Give us that where they can find you on Facebook or Instagram again real quick, and then we appreciate your time, brother.
Sure. We're Pit Stop Catering on both of those. On Facebook and on Instagram. And if you follow if you like us and follow us, we do all kinds of specials every week. But for the Super Bowl, it's a good way to learn how we do it. Is that we're also doing Philly steak sandwiches, because Philly's in the Super Bowl.
All right.
And Kansas City style ribs. We won a ton of competitions with our ribs.
Cool, man.
All
well,
those pictures and all those.
Matt, I'm sorry, we're out of time. The Grilling Guys will be right back.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, Bob, we have a special guest joining the Grilling Guys.
That's right. It's Coach Dick Vermeil. How are you, Coach?
I'm doing fine, Bob. I'm down in Key West, and it's going to be about 80 degrees today rather than in Pennsylvania where I might be freezing.
That's right. I wondered if you went home to watch them clinch the playoffs.
Oh, you know, I watch everything on television.
Okay.
I went to a Chiefs game a few weeks back, the Denver game, as their guest, and had a wonderful time. And you know, now I get to watch two former teams play against each other.
And I asked you in the email, has this ever happened before where a coach...
No, I don't know. I'm sure it has. You know, I'm sure it has, but I couldn't tell you if it has or not.
So,
I don't know.
So
it, you know, it makes no difference on who's going to win the football game.
No, no. You love them both. And we're talking to Coach Dick Vermeil, who I met in Philadelphia at one of his fundraisers. Rob Russell and I used to go out and cook for you and Vince Papale and Frank LeMasters.
Yeah.
Give those guys my regards, by the way.
I will.
They're wonderful people.
Thank you for thinking of those guys. Yeah.
Wonderful people. And I encourage anybody who wants to know who these guys are to watch the movie Invincible, because that's the story of Dick Vermeil and his team. And it's a wonderful tale, and these guys are living legends, and they're still just as magnificent as they were back then. They're just probably a little more graceful now.
And not walking as good as they
used. No, I know Frank's not. Listen, yeah. So tell us how you ended up coaching which team. You went from the Eagles?
I went from the Eagles to broadcasting, then to the Rams, then home, and then back to the Chiefs. So the three teams spread over all those years, yes.
That's so cool. So how do you stack this up? What's your opinion?
Well, where a team is real strong and the other team is not as strong, or there isn't a big margin in the weakness or the difference in the two, you know, Chiefs are really known for their offensive team. I think overall the Eagles have through the season been the more balanced, really good on offense and defense. But we have noticed a real improvement in the Chiefs defense over the last four or five games of the season, especially how they played in the championship game with pressure in the quarterback and all that kind of stuff. So now the problem with studying statistical information, it covers all 17 games of the season. And it doesn't break it down to where they're a hell of a lot better at the end of the season than they were at the beginning. So I kind of find them pretty equal. Pretty equal. You know, there's only one Patrick Mahomes, and there's only one Jalen Hurts, and they're both different, but they both score a lot of points. And
they're both amazing.
Yes, they are.
I've followed Mahomes since his entry into NFL, and I the first time I saw him play, I go, who is this kid? And he's really amazing. And, of course, my time in Kansas City in the barbecue world has made me a little bit closer maybe to Kansas City, but my time with you in Philadelphia makes me love the Eagles. And it's so I don't have a horse in this game, but I had to get your opinion on it. And people want to know, of course, because you're a legend, and we're sure grateful that you take the time to visit our little show. And
well, I always appreciated you guys coming in for the barbecue. We did that golf tournament for 28 years.
Wow.
Made a lot of money for the Boy Scouts in Chester County and people like you that really made an effort to come and help us, so I appreciate it very much.
Well, it was a thrill for my son Jordan got to come out 1 year and visit with you, and then my daughter Olivia got to come out another year, and you know, that's just a big deal. I'll never forget Frank telling him Vince telling him at dinner. He looked around the table and he looked at Olivia and he said, "Next, when you pick a guy, you know, who's going to do this for you?" And she had a big grin on her face because she's sitting there with all these legends.
My God.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, I wanted to jump in quick and ask Coach Vermeil about the differences in the game between, you know, your coaching years and now. Are you a big fan of the changes in the game, or do you prefer the originals back when you were?
Well, you know, I prefer the old original fundamentals, but I sort of, the game I think is more exciting with more points being scored, more wide open, and all the rules have been made to help the offense execute the passing game a lot better than they used to. So people throw the ball more than they run almost anymore. And I think it's made the game more exciting overall for the fans. Just look at the TV ratings, and that'll explain what I'm saying. But that the fundamentals aren't as good as they used to be, I don't think. And how the individuals play their positions, they're just more talent at those positions than there used to be. They're bigger. They're faster. My first Super Bowl team, the heaviest guy in the team was 275. Now at 275, that's a marginal weight to even play, you know.
Yeah.
So, and the wide receivers have improved so much over the years. Now everybody catches the uncatchable ball. You know, in the old days, once in a while, like a Harold Carmichael or a Lynn Swann would catch a ball that no one else could catch. Now they all catch them that way. So those are the two big differences, I think, in the game.
So in the defense, obviously, a little bit more hamstrung these days in trying to defend those big passes.
Oh, no question, yeah. The penalty, the officiating, and the secondary pass interference,
right.
Pass interference, they're so inconsistent.
I mean, the big joke is everything is scripted now in the NFL. Are you feeling that?
No, not really. I just think when two teams are really good, and equal in a lot of categories of what it takes to be successful, then an official's call is making the difference in who wins the game. A bad call wins it for the other guy and loses it for the one team. So,
but in this,
you know, that's just, the game is moving so fast, and the officials have so many things to call,
right,
and no time to really interpret what really happened.
Right.
So I think there's a few more mistakes made today.
Well, there's a lot of pressure on those officials with the instant replay, too.
Yeah, no question. Yeah.
Well, Coach.
Overall, the officials are doing a good job. You consider the tempo of the game today. You know, some teams don't even huddle. And you have no time to regroup in between snaps. And they're asked to call many more things than they used to call.
Right.
Yeah. There's players on the field other than the quarterback that have all the plays on his armband now. You know, that's how complex it's gotten.
I remember when that started. Actually started in the world, in the old NFL Europe League.
Interesting.
Well, Coach, get back to your guests and have fun.
All right. Well, thank you. And thank you, Bob. Go Chiefs, go Eagles.
There you go.
I'm going to root for both of them to win and then feel sorry for the one that loses.
Okay. Thanks, sir.
Take care.
Yep. Bye-bye. That's Coach Dick Vermeil.
Legendary coach
NFL,
in the NFL. Yeah. And I bet that is maybe the only person on earth that has coached both teams of a Super Bowl contenders in his career.
And coaching Hall of Fame.
Right, yeah. I mean, this guy's a living legend.
Yeah.
And
he's on the Grilling Guys.
Right, yeah. What do you know? Go for it, right? Yeah, that's cool. So Coach Vermeil is a living legend. This is a guy. Bob, how did you originally meet him?
Through Rob Russell.
Okay.
Rob met him in Kansas City when Rob was asked to barbecue for an event Coach was doing out there. And he was actually launching Vermeil Wines. And he heard about Rob, and somehow he got a message to him and asked Rob if he wanted to come to his event and do a little barbecue, and he paid him to do it. And what Rob noticed instantly with Coach was that Coach had all these high-dollar people in there to test his wine, and he spent all his time talking to Rob about barbecue. Coach has an affinity for barbecue, so Rob hooked him up with one of our smokers, and they were fast friends. And the next thing you know, Coach is asking him to come out to Philly, which he says, sure. He calls me up and says, hey, you want to go to Philly? And
yeah.
I go, why? And he told me, and I'm like, oh, that sounds like a ball. And so we went out and cooked for him and had an absolute riot. The next year, I took Jordan with me, And Jordan got to...
Your son.
Yep, because when my kids are 16, I always take them on a trip, and that was... He was in football. I mean, he got to hang out at the ninth hole with Coach Vermeil for the day while he signed autographs and did things, and Jordan was just there.
Yeah.
And then the next year, I took Olivia.
Yeah.
Cool. And, the guys loved Olivia because she's so adorable. And that was the story about Vince Papale telling her, look around this table. You've got to find a guy that'll do this for you. Boy, I was a proud moment for a dad.
All right. So coming up next, we're going to dive into a little buffalo chicken dip, maybe feet first, and we're going to hit some more Super Bowl snacks.
Yes, we are. And a reminder, get the movie Invincible. Rent it on Netflix.
Hey, guys. Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids, and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need.
Welcome back, it's the grilling guys, and we're talking everything Super Bowl, getting you ready for next weekend for the big game. Give you a little time to do some shopping. And, we talked with Matt Smith from Pit Stop Catering. If you don't want to do the cooking, there's a great place to go and look him up. There's some cool stuff on his menu. But if you want to do it, there's several things that are my favorites when I get a group of people together. And Barbecue Bob, you've got one as well.
Yeah, and everybody's probably had somebody's version of a buffalo chicken dip, you know, and almost all of them are good in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've had hacks make them and I can't quit eating it. This one I made several years ago and I stumbled across it this week in preparation for the show. But it's you can find it on Frank's Red Hot site. And, of course, we love Frank's Red Hot and we love their sweet pepper sauce. And it just seems like a perfect company for grilling guys to be affiliated with, right? So this thing, and I'll post it on our website later on today. It calls for a couple cups of shredded chicken. Now, it says cooked chicken. And now you're a grilling guy. I don't care if it's cold or not. You're going to grill this, see?
Right. Yeah. Or you could smoke it if you preferred a little smokier flavor.
That's not a horrible idea.
That's right.
You've had worse.
Right. But a couple... This is a tongue twister. A couple cups of cooked chicken. Say that after
say
three beers,
we
right?
Rabbit.
Right. And but it's a couple cups of cooked chicken or smoked chicken diced up in an edible size. Something that'll go on a chip.
Network.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my point is chicken breasts can be janky. You got to be careful with, don't overcook them. Make sure you cook them enough, you know, all this stuff. But they're also... This recipe calls for shredding it, and I get it. That's what you want to do. The problem with what a lot of people do is they shred it, but they fail to chop it.
Right.
And you'll have some long, stringy pieces that are 4 inches long, 3 inches and long.
Very messy
to eat.
Does
not go on a cracker.
Right. Yep.
So you can go ahead and smoke it or grill it intact like that, but when you're done, rest it for at least a half an hour, because this does not need to be used warm. Rest it so... And personally, myself, I'm going to do a chicken breast, bone in, skin on, because that makes the best breast. I don't go for the
they
bare
don't
naked.
Out,
I don't
right?
go for the bare naked ladies.
So the other piece of that is chicken thighs. Work with that. But if you get skinless, boneless chicken thighs on the smoker, Those are a great piece of meat to put on this
that,
as well.
But for this recipe, I've never made it with thighs, but I've probably, I don't know. I really like to see that white meat, but I'm just saying, before you shred it, slice that thing into like 1-inch strips across the grain of the meat, so you don't have those long hairy pieces.
Right.
Yep. Because you can't scoop that on a cracker. Then you've got some sour cream softened, some Frank's Red Hot Original.
Not sour cream, cream cheese.
I'm sorry.
Cream cheese.
Frank's Red Hot Original Cayenne Red Hot Pepper Sauce. It's so good. That's just Frank's Red Hot Sauce. And then some ranch dressing and some blue cheese. It's that simple.
Right.
A chimp could make this.
Right. So it's ironic we're talking about this because I've got our first grandchild coming at the end of March. Really excited about it. The baby shower is...
You're naming him Frank?
I didn't have anything to do with naming him, and they're not telling us what it is till we do know it's a boy. But till we see the little guy, we'll find out mom and dad are keeping a name secret. So it's up to them.
That's great.
Yep. So, but my point is the baby shower's today, and my wife and the bride have eaten my chicken dip, and they requested it for the baby shower today. So you didn't know that, but I'm making it today as well after the show. So let me tell you the variation, because the one you did works great.
Yep.
I used two different things in mine. Okay.
And I know what they are.
Well, first of all, I buy a buffalo sauce that's made by a company called Moore's, yep. M-O-O-R-E.
And that's good too.
And it's a blue cheese buffalo sauce. So I use a skillet, a iron skillet, and I lay down the softened cream cheese, and then I lay down the diced chicken, and then I cover it with this Moore's, right? And then I'll take fresh jalapenos and dice them up in little rings. Okay, I core them to get the seeds out because it's people in the and try to get the membrane out, but then I'll lay them on there to make it pretty in a little circular way on top of the skillet, and then I take a little more Kojak cheese and sprinkle it on the top of there so that I've got not only that cheese and then the blue cheese that was in the dressing.
But here's the thing you got to have with that dip. Celery.
Well,
I want some celery when I have chicken wings or buffalo dip.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's tradition in Buffalo.
Yeah, it's good.
But
it's
watery.
Yeah.
And it kind of quenches your thirst because that stuff's generally quite salty.
Yeah.
And pretty hot.
Yeah.
So it's like taking a drink and you're getting to eat it.
Yeah. And my wife likes those scoop chips.
I have yours and that is good.
Yeah.
That is good.
Yep.
And I think that Moore's sauce is really like a combination of Frank's and blue cheese.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's not too spicy, but it has some heat.
So if you can't find that, you go ahead and go on to Frank's Red Hot site and just download theirs. It's really easy. I think another really great thing, I mean, let's face it, Mexican food has taken over North America.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to talk about quesadillas, mini tacos, and taco pizzas, because those are just things anybody can make. A quesadilla can be so easy if you have – everybody has an electric griddle.
Right.
You make pancakes for your kids, right?
Right.
You can use that to make a quesadilla if you don't have anything else. And get the big flour tortillas, do up your chicken – ground beef, whatever you're going to do, taco meat, whatever you like using, roast beef, brisket is great. And then put lots of oil on that griddle because fat is flavor.
Right.
Get your big flour tortilla, throw it on there, and immediately cover it with cheddar cheese. And now put your, and before you even do any of that, you should have sauteed a few vegetables. I like on quesadillas, I like red peppers. I like green peppers and, of course, a sweet onion and whatever you have that you think you like, right? So I'm going to then throw some veggies on. I'm going to then throw my taco meat or brisket or whatever on, half of it. I'm going to throw a little more cheese on for good luck, and that little bit for good luck is going to be a mozzarella or a Monterey Jack or maybe a provolone. And then I'm going to fold that baby over so it looks like a moon pie. Right?
Right.
It's going to be a half circle, And then I'm going to take my flipper and I'm going to flip it over on the other side so both sides get to meld in together. And you just keep producing those like that. And you have a cutting board next to you. You scoop them off. You put them on the cutting board. Let them rest for a couple of minutes. And get a giant pizza cutter or a big arced knife and make your slices so you don't destroy the thing. You don't want to do it when it's right off the grill. You want to let it cool just a touch so it'll meld or solidify somewhat. And then you sprinkle some spices or some cilantro on top. You can have, I take tajin, which is a Mexican sauce. I'm sorry, Mexican spice. And I'll mix that with sour cream.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be red.
Right.
And I'll put a dollop of that on top with a little bit of chopped lettuce and cilantro. And people look at it and they just want to dive into it. It just looks so good.
Right.
You got all those colors.
Right.
That's one of the cool things about Mexican food. A lot of colors.
Yeah. And you know, there's
kids eat them.
Everybody eats some sort of Mexican food because you're right. It's just so super popular. And I really enjoy it. It's easy to make,
yeah.
Too. And there's a few variations if you want to. Some people use beans. Some people don't use beans. And you know, I'm not the biggest.
I like pinto beans, refried, frijoles they call them. And that is just another fantastic dip. Again, your cast iron skillet.
Yep.
You know, you can literally get a couple cans of Goya. Always use Goya Pinto, they're best. And you can pour them in a saucepan, you can start heating it up, and you can take your potato masher mm-hmm. and just start mashing them in. Put in some olive oil, put in some garlic, a little bit of lemon, and some black pepper. They're going to be killer.
Yep.
Just killer.
Making your own, like, refried beans.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah. And then you can, like, put them in a cast iron skillet. When you get them heated up out of there, put them in a cast iron skillet. Throw them in the oven to stay warm, and oh man, you're going to make everybody happy.
Right. That's
but then great. Having the right nacho chip is a big deal.
Yep. And you make your own. I've had those. They're really good out of flour tortillas or corn tortillas. All right, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Enjoy your Super Bowl, and we look forward to talking with you next week.
Yeah, thanks. See ya.